Australia is here. We'll stay here. We're committed to being with Papua New Guinea at this time and into the future.
Through the PNG Australia Partnership, we have a long collaboration with the government of PNG and Health.
Sport is such a powerful tool at so many levels, but definitely at the community level.
Align our work to PNG's strategic frameworks and plans in the education sector.
Dispela Partnership, Emmy Strongim Sindown Naman Australia na PNG.
Australia and Papua New Guinea have a strong security partnership in traditional areas of defence, policing, border and maritime security, and also non-traditional areas of cybersecurity, climate change, gender-based violence, and critical infrastructure. I am your host, Gregor Vira, and on this month's AHCNA program, we will feature the work Australia is doing alongside key PNG government agencies to further deepen the relationship and contribute to our region's security. Joining us on the program are Chief of Royal Australian Air Force, Air Marshal Robert Chipman, Chief of Royal New Zealand Air Force, Air Vice Marshal Darren Webb, and Australia's Ambassador for Cyber Affairs and Critical Technology, Brandon Dowling. But first up, we will hear from Australian Federal Police Assistant Commissioner, Jamie Strauss, about the PNG Australia Policing Partnership, or PNG APP program. Hi Jamie, and welcome to the program. Can you tell us what the PNG APP program is about?
Yeah, thanks Greg. Well, we've had a long-standing relationship with the Royal Papua New Guinea Constabulary. Actually first kicked off in 1989. That's how far our relationship stems from, when we first deployed a small contingent, but a small number of people into Papua New Guinea. In the current iteration though, since 2008, we've had the Papua New Guinea Policing Partnership, which is the advisory role to the RPNGC, which is all targeted to supporting the RPNGC to be or to reach its vision of being a professional and trusted community orientated police service. That's the essence of that role. But in addition, we have two Australian Federal Police officers attached to the Australian High Commission in Port Moresby. They work under a different mandate. They work under a memorandum of understanding between the AFP and the RPNGC, and they have the mandate to both share and cooperate and share information and intelligence to combat transnational crime. So a huge advisory partnership, which I can go into more detail shortly in terms of what that covers, but also a very, very targeted, focused cooperation on combating transnational crime.
How is the partnership being delivered here in Papua New Guinea?
The backbone of the partnership is split into three pillars. So the advisory partnership under the Papua New Guinea Australian Policing Partnership program, that works under three pillars, being one, operations, which a contingent of my staff are based out of Barroco at NCD. The second pillar is training with staff attached to Bermana Police College at Bermana. And the third is corporate reform, where we have a number of staff that support the RPNGC and the Deputy Commissioner Administration specifically and her teams in terms of how they manage corporate functions in terms of finance and HR. They're the mainstays of the partnership. And that's about 40 odd staff that are dedicated just for those roles, but that's based in Port Moresby with a small number of staff, four officers based in Lae as well. It's important to draw the distinction between the people you see in uniform, or people in Papua New Guinea who have seen our officers in marked cars and marked uniform. They are an advisory role. They wear an advisory marking on their uniform, and that purely articulates what the role is. We are not in line. We don't do operational roles for the RPNGC. That is left to the mandate and the responsibility of the RPNGC. However, to give some examples of how that's broken down, for instance, in operations though, we'll provide investigative support to the RPGC investigators in the form of providing advice in terms of their investigation plans, in terms of records of interview, in terms of what they should be thinking about in terms of sensitive matters, but definitely targeted matters that the Commissioner of the RPNGC, Commissioner Manning, each year evaluates how we've performed and where he wants us to focus effort. So we have been doing some work lately in the sexual offences area, which supports the family sexual violence units. We have some advisors dedicated in those areas, but it's really focused on the investigation, prosecution of and you would have been aware, others would be aware, there was the graduation recently at Bumana, so that leads into our training where we've supported the delivery of the prosecutors qualifying programs for the RPNGC. So that's just another training element that all goes towards us providing more support in terms of investigations, prosecutions and the success and effectiveness of those within Papua New Guinea. In the corporate reform space, that's another one that is probably largely unsold because we do a lot of work in terms of trying to develop more better practices and processes for the RPNGC to spend their budget and their money appropriately and effectively, but also maximise that. We work with DC Clarkson or Ma'am Clarkson in terms of some reviews, for example, reviewing fleets, RPNGC vehicle fleets, fuel usage, those sorts of things, and provide advice and guidance to them on how they can better manage their budget. And that area in itself, whilst it's in the background, I think produces some fantastic results in terms of, the RPNGC, who, in recent times have been well marked, if you like, or well scored in terms of the way they manage their budget, spend their budget. So it's a credit to the RPNGC, but also to that effectiveness of that team in terms of how they do their job and support the RPNGC.
Right, those are all the questions I have. Any concluding additional remarks you'd like to make, if any?
I think it's exciting for people to understand that the investment of the AFP, the investment of the AFP in the Australian government to Papua New Guinea over the next 4 years is, I've only touched on a few, but it's going to be quite impactful and quite positive. I didn't even touch on the fact that we're helping with police housing and police barracks, which has been a long sort of not a capability gap, but a gap in terms of, the recruits are coming out, where are they going to go, are they going to be trained? There's a lot of end use of those sorts of commitments, which are fantastic to see PNG moving in that direction, but there's a lot of work we're doing to support that, to make sure that it can be used effectively. So I just think over the next, particularly the next 12 to 18 months, people will really see in the public, they'll see us more, they'll understand more what we do, and hopefully, all this adds up to the people of Papua New Guinea getting a better police service outcome, which is what every citizen of PNG or any country for that matter deserves.
Can you tell us what form of support will be provided through the existing partnership and recently signed bilateral security agreement?
The bilateral security agreement is a fantastic achievement between both countries, Papua New Guinea and Australia, and that actually gives effect to enhancing our bilateral program with the RPNGC to the tune of $157 million Australian dollars over 4 years. So there's a number of deliverables and outputs that it will go over and above that we normally do on a day-to-day basis, and I'll talk about the day-to-day basis later, but it's probably more important for people listening to understand the significant investment now that the Australian government and via the AFP are providing to the RPNGC, and to break that down further for you, more importantly and specifically, the people of Papua New Guinea are going to see some pretty exciting deliverables which will be publicised and marketed, and some of those will be delivering a new forensics facility here in Barroco. That's a significant investment in terms of developing what the capabilities and capacity of the RPNGC are in forensics, but also building a brand new facility, which will take some time. But very soon, people will see in late May, a number of the officer cadets. So there's 60 officer cadets in training at the moment at the Bumana College, which we're on a three-year residential program. And they'll be doing placements with Queensland Police Service in Far North Queensland, starting late May, going through to August. They'll also spend some time at our Australian Institute of Police Management in Manly, New South Wales, so there'll be some leadership component. So that's a significant investment in the future leadership of the RPNGC that the AFP will be doing. We'll also be delivering a significant a vessel from Taspol Police. It's actually called the PV Van Diemen now. It's going to be renamed, and I won't even quote the name here that I know it's going to be, but let's leave that surprise for the people who are going to announce it and be there at the gifting. But that vessel is a significant vessel that will assist the RPNGC in long-range water patrols and those sorts of tasks that they need to do that the Australian government via the AFP is providing under the bilateral security arrangement. But really, probably the most exciting one for me that I've had a lot of passion about, I mentioned before earlier to the viewers that we're based in Port Moresby and Lae, and that's been the case for many years. we're about to put people, so AFP officers, into Mount Hagen, in the Highlands, and also to Kokopo. So they'll be called our provincial centres, and they're a really exciting development under the partnership that will provide extra support to, you know, the significant provinces within Papua New Guinea, and provides another level of support, if you like, or expansion of our support in terms of how we're going to support the RPNUC to achieve its vision and mission. But it's been a long time coming that we moved broader into Papua New Guinea, because a big debate, I guess, amongst your viewers and other people, whether it's all about Port Moresby. It's not about Port Moresby, it's not. Papua New Guinea is a big country and it's got a lot of diversity, which we welcome. But it's really exciting to see, sort of towards July, August this year, you'll start to see AFP officers stationed in those locations, which is brand new, and I think it's going to be a significant impact, positive impact for the relationship and support to the RPNGC.
And we just heard from AFP Assistant Commissioner Jamie Strauss about the PNG Australia Policing Partnership, or PNG APP, and the work the Australian Federal Police is doing to support the Royal Papua New Guinea Constabulary to deliver effective policing services. We will now take a short break, but do stay with us, because up next, we will hear from the chiefs of the Australian and New Zealand Air Forces, or in the country on a joint visit. Stay tuned.
Supporting women and girls to participate fully in political, economic and social life is important for both Australia and Papua New Guinea. Australia supports the government of Papua New Guinea to achieve and implement their plans, such as the National Gender-Based Violence Strategy and the Sorcery National Action Plan. Our priorities are increasing women's leadership and influence, increasing women's economic empowerment, and violence prevention and response.
Welcome back. You are listening to AHC On Air. Before the break, we heard from AFP Assistant Commissioner Jamie Strauss about the PNG Australia Policing Partnership, or PNG APP program, and the work the Australian Federal Police is doing to support the Royal Papua New Guinea Constabulary to deliver effective policing services. Just as important as the PNG APP program is to the broader Papua New Guinea-Australia relationship, Australia also places a high priority on the defence cooperation with Papua New Guinea. As part of a four-day joint visit to the country, the chiefs of the Royal Australian Air Force and Royal New Zealand Air Force participated in key bilateral engagements with PNG ministers, PNG Defence Force counterparts and members of the community. We are now joined by Chief of Royal Australian Air Force Air Marshal Robert Chipman and Chief of Royal New Zealand Air Force Air Vice Marshal Darren Webb, who will tell us more about their joint visit and the existing defence cooperation. Welcome to AHC On Air, Air Marshal Chipman and Air Vice Marshal Webb. The defence partnership between Australia and Papua New Guinea is an enduring pillar of the bilateral relationship. Air Marshal Chipman, can you please tell us how this partnership is benefiting both countries?
Sure, Gree. Australia, as a member of the Pacific Islands Forum, believes in Pacific sovereignty and solidarity, and we believe that we all have our part to play in building a Pacific that is peaceful, prosperous and resilience. And in Australia, we believe that investing in defence and our defence capability is an investment in our sovereignty. And when we're working together, that reinforces our shared commitment to sovereignty in our region and a system of international cooperation between the nations of the Pacific region. Working together gives us a shared understanding. It gives us an opportunity to share our perspectives and make sure we get a full view from each other of our security situation in the Pacific region and to understand how we can respond together to deal with those challenges. It also builds what we call interoperability, our ability to work together. And that's particularly important in response to humanitarian assistance and disaster response type situations, where we can make sure that we're working efficiently to get aid to our communities as quickly as possible.
The Royal Australian Air Force has been providing air mobility support through the Defence Pacific Air Program, or DPAP, and other programs. Air Marshal Chipman, can you please tell us more about this program and some of the achievements to date?
Yeah, terrific. So DPAP started back in July 2023. It's part of Australian government's efforts to demonstrate our commitment to increase our support to the Pacific Island regions. Its initial focus is here in Papua New Guinea, but we've also now started to work with Fiji, and there's the potential that DPAP might expand further in future years, but at the moment our attention is really focused on Papua New Guinea and Fiji. What it looks like at the moment is a detachment that regularly rotates through Port Moresby or through Fiji of C-27 aircraft operated by Number 35 Squadron. And the intent is to make those aircraft available to the government of Fiji and the government of Papua New Guinea so that they can use it for their own benefit. And the sorts of things that we've seen the C-27 Spartans doing in Papua New Guinea is moving people, government people and non-government aid organisations, law enforcement and other agencies. They've airlifted large items, including vehicles and generators, plant equipment, to communities that are inaccessible by road. They've supported health programs and other humanitarian initiatives, and they've also been involved in search and rescue and humanitarian and disaster relief responses, including in response to the recent earthquake in Sepik province. What DPAP also does in the background is it gives us an opportunity for the people of the Air Transport Wing in Papua New Guinea to work alongside the people of the Royal Australian Air Force from Number 35 Squadron. And again, that's building both of our expertise in how to operate up in Papua New Guinea and to make sure that our aviation activities are safe, that our aviation activities are sustainable, and that we can continue to work together into the future.
Now over to you, Air Vice Marshal Webb. Can you tell us about the partnership between the New Zealand Defence Force and PNGDF?
Absolutely, love to, and thanks for having us here. And just like Rob has said, the relationship that the New Zealand Defence Force has with the PNGDF is vitally important to us. Long-standing, strong, and very warm. And it, of course, is appropriate that we're here with Anzac Day tomorrow as a foundation stone for some of those relationships that go way back nearly 80 years. More recently, we will look at the Mutual Assistance Program as one of those really important elements to connect our two nations, which has been in effect now for more than 50 years. We very much enjoy bringing PNGDF staff to New Zealand to help train in certain areas, all sorts of different trade groups. And I've personally enjoyed being on a number of staff courses with PNGDF officers and forming really strong friendships and relationships. People-to-people connections are hugely important, and there are a few units which have formed really strong bonds over the years, in particular the Long Range Reconnaissance Unit here in PNG, as well as the New Zealand Army connections. And we greatly value some of those particular functions we have here as well, including the Deputy Chief of Staff role, where New Zealand and PNG can learn, you know, more from each other. Over the years, as Rob has mentioned, alongside our Australian colleagues, we've responded to a range of environmental disasters and requirements, and we will continue to do that into the future as a really important part of our responsibility to manage regional responses with regional solutions. One of the things that we're really proud of is the Pacific Leadership Development Program, so the Kumul Barracks, which was opened just over 2 years ago. And in the Defence Force, we understand the vital importance leadership plays in creating a force which does effective things. It's able to teach the skills, the attitudes and the behaviours of staff members from the most senior ranks all the way down to the most junior ranks, and really create a more powerful force for generations to come. So really pleased that we're able to support, you know, with that. And I think one of the things that New Zealand might be able to assist along the lines with Papua New Guinea is the fact that we are both small nations, as in small defence forces, and we can help share some of the lessons that we've learned over those times as well about how to manage and how to operate the small defence force effectively.
The Flights of Excellence program has enabled training and capacity building activities between the ADF and PNGDF personnel. Air Marshal Chipman, apart from capacity building, what are other shared benefits being provided through the program?
Yeah, I mean, thanks, Greggy. At the end of the day, the Flights of Excellence program is all about reconstituting a sovereign air transport capability for the Papua New Guinea Defence Force. That's our shared aim of the Flights of Excellence program. At the moment, we've got three PAC 750 aircraft. They're a small utility aircraft, but they're a wonderful training platform. And so it gives us an opportunity to work with the PNGDF to train their pilots, to train their ground crews, and build up their skill sets so that they can move on to other aircraft in the future. And when we kicked it off, the thing that we were concerned about was making sure that we were working with PNGDF to deliver a sustainable and safe aviation program. And that was really drawing on lessons that we experienced in Australia right back to the 1990s, where we were having a lot of aeroplanes crashed, we killed a lot of people, and so we learned a lot of lessons about safety and airworthiness. And really, safety and airworthiness have been at the heart of the Flights of Excellence program. And the PNGDF have done such a wonderful job to develop their professionalism and their understanding of safety and airworthiness in a crawl, walk, run approach to make sure that when they do deliver an aviation capability in the future, that it is safe and sustainable. Where we are at the moment is a focus on pilot training and technician training to look after the aircraft. We will move in future into logistics and administrative support so that all elements of the aviation capability mature together. And we think that over time, this will leave the PNGDF with a very strong aviation capability.
The PNGDF Air Transport Wing will, for the first time, be contributing personnel to participate in Exercise Pitch Black 24. Air Marshal Chipman, how does participating in such exercises improve interoperability between military forces?
Yeah, terrific. Exercise Pitch Black is one of the largest exercises that we run in Australia. We invite nations from across our region, Southeast Asia, North Asia, the United States, and there's even about four or five different nations coming from Europe, all deploying down to Northern Australia to participate in Exercise Pitch Black. We do run through some very complex air combat scenarios, so it's an opportunity for the PNGDF Air Transport Wing personnel to get exposed to what we consider to be some of the more challenging tasks in air combat. That will be a wonderful education experience for them. But the more important thing and the more important objective from Exercise Pitch Black is to bring nations together to learn how to operate alongside each other, to iron out some of the challenges of working together, such as different languages, different communication, radio protocols, and all of those sorts of things. We have an opportunity to exercise together, understand each other, work out how to operate more efficiently together, and ultimately that builds interoperability so that if we're ever called upon to work together in response to a security challenge, then we're well placed to do that.
And finally, can I get you both to tell us a bit more about your visit to Papua New Guinea, which I understand will include attending this year's Anzac Day Dawn service, and also why this event is significant? Can we start with Air Vice Marshal Webb?
Yeah, thanks, Ricky. And listen again, it's just wonderful to be here. It's really important that I'm sitting alongside my colleague Rob from Australia, because we don't do things in the region alone. We do things absolutely together, you know, all of the time, whether it's in our force preparedness or in our responsiveness. And you've just heard from Rob speak about Pitch Black and the importance of interoperability and working alongside each other in training, so that when it is required for real, we can understand each other. So I think it's hugely important that we're here together. We come with a common voice. We see the challenges in the region in the same way. There's no daylight between how Australia and New Zealand consider the very complex challenges that are coming towards us. And so it's useful to project those common views, and also for us in New Zealand to demonstrate that we are absolutely supporting the significant amount of effort that Australia brings into PNG across a range of areas, and in particular in the aviation, military aviation response that you've heard about already this morning. We work in a really complementary way, so there are things that Australia will do which are very important, and then there'll be other things that New Zealand bring which might be slightly different but work really nicely alongside. And then of course Anzac Day, it's always a very special day for us. It might have begun 109 years ago on the beaches of a country a long way from here. But over the time, what we've discovered actually is that it affects, you know, all conflicts ever since that time. And it's an opportunity for us to consider those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice and acknowledge the fact that the veterans continue to develop to this day. We have veterans who are young and veterans who are old, and it's important that we acknowledge both of those groups. And so for us here in particular, I'm really looking forward to attending Anzac Morning at Bumana War Cemetery. I've been there before, it's a very special place, and there are a small number of New Zealand airmen in that cemetery who fought in the skies above PNG in the 1940s, and it's an entirely appropriate thing for us to recognise that and reflect on those challenges which we continue to face shoulder to shoulder into the future.
And thanks, Greg. I can't say it better than Digby. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to travel as mates into the region and to demonstrate our commitment. When we talk about trying to find Pacific solutions to Pacific security challenges, us travelling together to Papua New Guinea is a way of demonstrating how serious we are about that. And we're determined to work together so that we are providing good air power solutions where they're required across our region. We have a great the privilege while we're here of meeting some very senior leaders from the Papua New Guinea government, from the PNG Defence Forces and members of the community, and we're here to hear their perspectives. Both of us believe that aviation has a very important place in Papua New Guinea. It's a big country. It's an isolated country. There are parts of the community that are difficult to access by road or other infrastructure. So there's a role for aviation. But it is also one of the most unforgiving aviation environments anywhere in the world, operating at high altitudes, in mountainous terrain, with incredibly challenging weather and on difficult strips. This is an area that requires rare skill to be able to operate effectively, and Digby would know that better than I, having flown up here regularly in the C-130. So we also want to make sure that as we support Papua New Guinea develop their air transport capability and more broadly their civil aviation infrastructure, that where we're able to help them develop those capabilities, that we're doing it with the best of our knowledge and experience. And just to reinforce Digby's point about Anzac Day, Bumana is a sacred place, and it holds a sacred place in the heart of Australians and New Zealanders. And it is again a reinforcement of our shared history, our intertwined histories. That is the way our future will go forward, intertwined. And it's an opportunity on Anzac Day for us to reflect on and honour the sacrifice of those that have gone before us, but also to recommit ourselves to their ideals and their convictions and make sure that we're carrying that torch forward into the future.
Chief of Royal Australian Air Force Air Marshal Robert Chipman and Chief of Royal New Zealand Air Force Air Vice Marshal Darren Webb speaking to us about their joint visit and on the existing defence cooperation with Papua New Guinea. We will now take another short break. More when we return.
Papua New Guinea and Australia have a long and shared history of cooperation in education, and it remains a really critical and central part of our ongoing partnership. We work in partnership with the government of PNG to align our work to PNG's strategic frameworks and plans in the education sector. We really do work across a large part of the education system. We support children as they commence their education journey, right up to adult learners in technical and academic fields.
Welcome back to AHC On Air. Apart from the traditional areas of defence, policing, border and maritime security, Australia's security partnership also invests in cybersecurity, climate change, gender-based violence and critical infrastructure in Papua New Guinea. Our next guest on the programme is Australia's Ambassador for Cyber Affairs and Critical Technology, Brandon Dowling. My colleague Valerie caught up with the ambassador and asked this interview.
Thank you for joining us. If you can tell us a bit about your role as the cybersecurity ambassador.
So Australia established a cyber ambassador several years ago now because we recognised that so much of our technology, so much of our economic growth is tied up in the digital world and tied up in the technologies that we use. So as the ambassador, I spend many of my days working with technology companies to ensure that we have access to secure technology that meets the needs for our citizens, our businesses, and our major critical infrastructure providers. I also spend a lot of time working with countries in the region about how we build up the cybersecurity of the region, be it Asia or in the Pacific, and to make sure that all countries are taking cybersecurity seriously because it is such an important feature of our national security and national prosperity. We also do a lot of work with multilateral institutions at the United Nations to influence the global governance of cybersecurity to make sure states are operating in accordance with international law and behaving responsibly.
Thank you. What are some of the challenges Australia and PNG face in cyber and critical technology space?
Australia and PNG face almost the exact same challenges when it comes to cybersecurity and critical technologies. We've seen so much of our populations adopt digital technologies, whether it's laptops, whether it's e-commerce, whether it's mobile phones. And unfortunately, we do see a lot of targeting of vulnerable populations. Cyber criminal groups are conducting ransomware attacks in Australia, in the Pacific, which is stealing people's data, extorting them for money, and compromising critical infrastructure operations. The answer to many of those attacks is to do what we can to build up our own resilience. That means patching your devices when there's a software update. It means thinking about the emails and WhatsApp messages that you receive and the types of links that are contained, and not just clicking on a link even if you think it might look legitimate. We also see that many of the technologies that we use in our daily lives are vulnerable, that the software that we use has vulnerabilities baked in. Part of my work is to encourage the best available technology producers in the world to sell their products in a country like PNG. We need those big hyperscalers making good quality, secure technologies available so that people in a country like PNG don't face a trade-off between affordability and security. We also see that nation states are taking advantage of vulnerabilities in our critical infrastructure. Unfortunately, we're seeing cyber attacks used as a means of coercion and as a tool of statecraft. So we all need to get better at protecting our critical infrastructure from those type of disruptive cyber attacks from nation states that can shut down civilian services, that can shut down the essential services that we rely on every day. So cyber knows no borders. The challenges that Australia faces are exactly the same as what PNG is facing.
How should PNG and Australia cooperate to address this?
A colleague of mine from the PNG government said this morning that if PNG is not secure, then Australia is not secure, and vice versa. And I think that really applies in cyberspace. You see cyber criminals operating globally that target PNG and target Australia at the same time. The more that we can share information about those types of threats and then collectively work to counter them, to better prepare our citizens, to protect themselves, the more that both our countries will be safe. We need to work together on the technology that both our countries use. We're connected by cables, we're connected by telecommunications providers. If those operators are under attack in a cyber incident, then that affects both Australia and PNG. Australia's been really proud to partner with PNG on some specific programs. So we've worked to develop cybersecurity awareness in PNG. We've worked with commercial providers to provide advice to the PNG government about building its cybersecurity capability. And when Australia launched its new cybersecurity strategy late last year, we were really pleased to focus on how we build cyber resilience in the region. That means when there's a cyber incident in the region that affects services or governments, Australia will have a team called the Cyber Rapid Team that's available to deploy to help out that country in response to a cyber incident. We were also investing in the uplift of technology that's used in the region. So we're looking at helping a country like PNG get access to software and hardware that is more secure. We'll be looking at more projects to raise awareness amongst the community, help with legal reforms to improve cybersecurity laws in PNG, and also to get out there in the community and raise general awareness of cybersecurity risks. So we see this as a core part of our partnership between Australia and PNG. We're invested in working here over the long term so that both our nations are more secure. And it's been very pleasing to me to get to Port Moresby this week to meet with some old friends in the PNG government and talk about how we continue that partnership.
And that was Australia's Ambassador for Cyber Affairs and Critical Technology, Brendan Dowling, providing some insight on the cyber and critical technology space and on how both countries can work together going forward in addressing shared challenges. The security relationship between Australia and Papua New Guinea is a strong and enduring one. It is founded on the basis of history and shared experiences. Australia places a high priority on the security cooperation with Papua New Guinea, and both countries have a unique strategic role in contributing to the security and stability of our region. This has been another episode of AHC On Air. If you would like to hear past episodes, visit the Australian High Commission Facebook and LinkedIn pages for links to our podcast. Until next time, I'm your host, Greg Avira. And it's bye for now.
Australia is here. We'll stay here. We're committed to being with Papua New Guinea at this time and into the future.
Through the PNG Australia Partnership, we have a long collaboration with the government of PNG in health.
Sport is such a powerful tool at so many levels, but definitely at the community level.
Align our work to PNG's strategic frameworks and plans in the education sector.
Dispela Partnership. Emmy Strongim Sindown, Australia, and PNG.